Well, we are continuing to look at God's ideas concerning our walk. And we're launching off 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul said that all his exhorting and pleading and encouragement was to get the Thessalonians to pursue a walk that was worthy of God, worthy of the Lord. And looking at various passages already, we've looked at the fact that this calling to walk is about moving forward. It's not simply that we plod from day to day, but that there's actual progress, there's actual growth in this walk. That you and I are in agreement with God that our walk with Him is going to keep transforming us and keep changing us. And that this walk comes with great power, great equipping. That this walk comes with a multitude of good works that God's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That this walk comes with the power, the ability to please God. This walk comes with the opportunity to impact people's lives. Even after the moment of opportunity has passed, that by our partnership with God, God's Spirit is continuing to do things in people's lives. We're looking today, if you'll flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, at another aspect of this walk. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And while you have that in mind, flip over to Colossians chapter 3, because even without using the word walk, he's really expanding on this same idea. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, one of the things we can say about this walk, with everything else that we've already said, that this is meant to be a walk of love. And I think we bump into this idea so frequently in Scripture that, again, it's easy to almost say, yeah, got that, heard that before. And yet it's worth contemplating for the purpose, again, of growth, for the recognition that my walk with God also includes the fact that I become more loving as I continue in this walk. And so he's given us a couple of ideas here in these two passages. And he uses these ideas in both passages, but this idea of, I don't like this word, but it's a good word. It's a powerful word. Humility. And we've talked about this before. Humility for believers doesn't mean I put myself down. Humility for believers doesn't mean I denigrate myself. Humility for a believer means I comprehend my accurate position in the universe. I comprehend that I am a worthy, treasured, holy, blameless, seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father, child of God. That's humility, to comprehend that. And then to comprehend that in this position, I have a Father. And I'm not the Father. I'm not God. So part of my humility is that I recognize I have a Lord and I need a Lord. And then I relate to you because I'm also recognizing your proper position in the universe. That you are truly and genuinely the focus of the Father's love. I don't need to debate that. I don't need to check your credentials. I don't need to ask God for a second opinion. He's already told me his opinion on this. He's already told me his final conclusion on this is that you really are the treasured focus of his love. And so my humility means I recognize my place in the universe and I recognize your place in the universe, and then I relate to you that way. And so he's saying if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, this must include growing love. And he goes on and he talks about gentleness, he talks about compassion, he talks about kindness. When I was looking at just these two passages, and we're just at the beginning of this sermon, and you know that. I was looking at just these two passages, and I was almost complaining at God, Father, there's too much here. There's too much here. There's no way I can skip over all this. But those words mean something. They're worth your pursuit to spend some time this afternoon or this week. Go back to these passages and then talk over with God, Father, what do each one of these words mean? What would it look like for me to do more of compassion, more of kindness, more of patience, more tolerance in a way that looks like Jesus Christ living within me, where I'm actually progressing in these qualities through an actual week of relating to children and parents and husbands and wives and friends and coworkers and bosses and employees and people that are definitely unfinished, including me? What will it look like for me to grow in these qualities this week? So I would love to take that bunny trail down right now, and we're not going to, but you have full freedom with God to go pursue that bunny trail during your week, to go dig up those words and ponder them in agreement with God, that you're actually saying, I want to grow these qualities. But there's a couple of things I want to notice here. Going back to the Colossians passage in chapter 3. If you'd start a little earlier, so I start at verse 12. If you'd start earlier at verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. And again, the recognition that this calling and this walk requires that I agree with God, that I am willfully putting away the old ways. I'm willfully setting aside the old man. I'm willfully setting aside my natural flesh ways, and I'm not just choosing godly ways. He's making it real clear here. What you and I are choosing for this growth and this walk is we're actually choosing the person of Jesus Christ. We can't skip that truth. We can never get that truth too glib or too quick and too fast for us, that we recognize everything about this life means I'm actually choosing Jesus Christ dwelling within me. But I also want to point out this. He ends with this in that Colossians 3 passage. In verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, go back, keep that in mind, and flip back now to Ephesians chapter 5. This is from the passage that Becky read for us a little while ago. Ephesians chapter 5, therefore, starting at verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And there's something about this passage that's worth noticing. God is contrasting here the idea of you and I pursuing a walk of love, where we're actually going to be engaged in each other's lives in a way that's loving. And then he brings in all this weird stuff about immorality and impurity. He's contrasting them on purpose. And part of the recognition is in the spiritual realm, there is no such thing as a victimless crime. So at the civil level of states and governments, there's at least the technical possibility of a victimless crime. In the spiritual realm, that's not even a possibility. If I'm pursuing sin in any area of my life and I pursue it willfully, I'm not pursuing it with a, I'm not fighting it, I'm not resisting it, I'm not going to God for power and authority to overcome it, I'm just giving in to sin. It is an absolute certainty that some aspect of me loving someone is being diminished. Loving my wife, loving my daughter, loving my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, loving the unsaved. If I'm pursuing sin unchallenged, I am diminished in my presence, my ability, my availability to love someone in some way. There is no such thing as victimless sin in the kingdom of God. And so he's contrasting even moral purity and the pursuit of moral purity with walking in love. That's worth hanging on to. But I also love that he gets to this idea. Basically, use your language as an aspect of that love. He says, no filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting. So that recognition, my language affects people. One of the things in counseling with people during the week that amazes me is how many families that come to counseling are dealing with the damage of words. They actually love each other. Parents who genuinely love their children. Brothers and sisters who genuinely love each other. And children who genuinely love their parents. And yet they're facing anger and heartache and brokenness and damaged relationship and resentment largely because of words. And so God's really here challenging us that in our relationships, you and I take real seriously this recognition. My words impact people's lives. And James, we won't go to the passage, but James talks about this, you know, how it doesn't fit. So he's saying this stuff doesn't fit right here. Paul is saying this way of talking doesn't fit with being a saint. And James says the same thing, that when you're blessing somebody, it doesn't fit that out of the same mouth cursing came. That out of the same mouth garbage was poured that did damage to somebody. It doesn't fit. But it's right, it's really beautiful because right here in the middle of this passage, God is giving us one antidote, one powerful focus to make our communication more effective, to make our communication more actively loving. And it's the same as the passage we read in Colossians, but it ends this way, but rather. And that rather means instead of. Instead of that garbage, do this. But rather, giving of thanks. Now, if you were to decide, and many of you do this, at least that's my experience of several of you. Many of you are quick to express appreciation. Many of you are quick to say thank you. Many of you are quick to notice something that someone said or did that God used as a blessing for you, and you get it said back to that person who offered it as gratitude and thanks. But God is saying that is one of the most powerful and effective ways for you to protect yourself from the destructive language is that in your human relationships, this is a passage about love among human relationships. That God's saying, I want you thankful in these human relationships. That husbands become more and more and more appreciative and say so to their wives. And wives to their husbands. And friend to friend. And brother to sister. And parents to children. And children to parents. And fellowship among fellowship. That you and I become proactively thankful to the people that God's put in our circle. With that joyful, actual partnership with God. Father, this is going to be part of my progress forward. I'm going to get better at this. It's going to fill more of my thinking, and then it's going to fill more of my talking. And at the very least, I will have less thought and less talk time available for the garbage. That's not the only way to combat it. But he's saying, but this is what you do instead of the garbage. You express appreciation. And you express appreciation in a growing manner. Everything about this walk is about growth. Everything about this walk is about movement forward and an increase and a gain and more like the character of Jesus Christ. So it's not simply just loving, it is that, but in at least one particular way, it's more thankful. And it's more thankful to humans. There's something that's less challenging to my ego, less challenging to my false pride, to say thank you to God. I'm talking to God. But my ego and my pride can be threatened by saying thank you to a human being. And God's saying, but I like that. I like it when your pride and your ego are a little challenged. I like it when you recognize that you need someone else and you've been blessed by someone else. Make sure you say so as a part of your love. And again, I feel, I'm not just saying this to encourage you, I mean this. I feel like we have a lot of very appreciative people in this congregation. But the, pardon? Oh, you're welcome. And there you have it. And thank you for pointing that out. But that recognition that all of us still have room for growth. So even if you're genuinely one of those people, even, and I mean that genuinely, even if you're genuinely one of those people who expresses appreciation, part of this challenge for growth is, but Father, would you like to fill me with more gratitude? Would you like to fill more of my conversation with appreciation and thankfulness to the people that you've put in my circle? Are there more things that if I humble myself, I will notice and be able to say thank you for? And then part of it, again, is this challenge. I also want to listen to my speech, because this is a proactive stand. I want to listen to my speech and make sure that I'm not doing the destructive conversation. That I'm not just saying a few more thankful words so I can get away with more destruction. I've actually had, I'll go ahead and say that. I've actually had people in counseling who use that as their justification. Well, yeah, I know I was saying some really mean things this week, but I said thank you more often. Okay, that doesn't like cross out the damage. God's saying replace it with this. Instead of the destruction, speak the gratitude and the appreciation. So I would actually encourage you, think about your life right now. I know I challenge you to do this pretty often, and I really hope you do this. Think about your life right now. Think about your relationships. Who are you going to deal with this afternoon? Who are you going to deal with this week? And that you start right now in an agreement with God. Father, I will actually speak more appreciation to those people. I can anticipate that I'm going to interact with my family, with my folks at work, folks at school, folks where I hang out, friends coming over or me going over there, my next door neighbor, whoever you can envision hanging out with or bumping into during the week, that right now you start the conversation with God where you're saying, Father, help me stay on top of this, that I notice and express appreciation more this week. And I particularly make sure that I'm speaking gratitude and appreciation instead of destruction, instead of criticism, instead of silly talk or coarse jesting, instead of damage. I speak gratitude. Now, there's one other passage I want to relate to this. Turn to 2 John, the long, long book of 2 John. It's right after 1 John. The second book of John, or the second letter of John, is 13 verses long. Is there anybody in the room who's memorized 2 John? Why not? It's 13 verses. But anyway, go down to verse 5. Actually, start at verse 4. This is John talking to... And it sounds like he's writing to a church in one woman's home. That there's a gathering of believers that meets in this woman's home. And he says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I'm writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Now, he uses the idea of walking three times in those three verses. So he's really trying to get this across. Keep moving in this direction and keep doing it this way, that you love one another. And he's saying, we knew this from the beginning. As soon as Christianity got started, as soon as Jesus launched this thing, this was already on the plate. This isn't a thing that developed later. This isn't an idea that Peter or Paul or John came up with later. From the very beginning, Jesus was saying, here's the greatest commandment, love relationship with God. And then here's the second greatest commandment, love relationship with each other. And you and I are going to hear something about love addressed one way or another almost every Sunday if we're in the New Testament. Almost every Sunday we're going to bump into that concept in some way, because God's constantly trying to put it back in front of our attention to say, are you actually growing this? Not just are you aware of the concept, but are you actually maturing and becoming more loving? And I've said it this way before, so I'll say it again. What I would wish and hope for is that at least a handful of people who know me closely, interact with me closely, like especially my wife and daughter, my inner circle of friends, and that you would be able to wish and hope and pray and work on the same thing, that inner circle a year from now could actually describe some ways I've grown. And that a year from now, those people in your inner circle could actually describe some ways you've grown. And New Testament-wise, the most important area that we could grow in is love. So it'd be great if a year from now my wife says, boy, Reg, he has so grown this year. He knows more about prophecy now than he did a year ago. That'd be wonderful. That'd be okay. But it's not the crucial thing. Wow, that Reg, he has memorized more scripture in this past year. That's amazing. That would be nice. That would be wonderful, in fact. It would be valuable, in fact. But it's not the main thing. The main thing that Carrie could say about me and that the closest people in your life could say about you, the best thing they could say about us, is that we have apparently grown in genuine love over this next year. Now we have to have the long, intense conversation with God about how we grow that. So we're not faking it so that they can say it. Hey, Carrie, did you notice I brought you flowers? I know I've told you before, Carrie hates flowers anyway, so that wouldn't do it. It's not that I'm faking it so that someone would say it. It's that you're pursuing it with God, and without you even noticing it, so to speak, someone would say it. Someone would notice the transformation and the growth. Because this is a walk, it's movement forward. Now, that actually reminds me of something. This is a test. No, it's not. It's a review. How many people, I'm actually going to ask for a show of hands. How many people went home after last Sunday and put something in your physical universe to remind you to increase the conversation with God? Okay. All of you who didn't raise your hands, you get another chance. So part of what we were talking about last week is the value of conversation with God, where we're actually seeking to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We're actually seeking to listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. That in this walk, we're recognizing I cannot skip the conversation. And like I said last week, if a physical reminder isn't necessary for you, that's fine. But it will be because you've found something that works even better than a physical reminder. So that I would encourage you, if you don't have something reminding you, if there isn't an effective way that you get pulled into that conversation with God, this is such a simple thing. Put two or three reminders in your physical environment that you know that thing sitting on my car dashboard, that thing on my bathroom mirror, that thing on my bedside table, that thing on my desk at work or right next to my computer, that thing, Father, is a marker of this agreement, that when I see that thing, I'm coming to you for conversation. When I see that thing, I'm going to intensify the conversation and give you opportunity to speak into my day and bring me something that will help me grow. Remind me of Scripture. Remind me of truth. Remind me of your presence and your power. And this is a simple thing, and it works. It's effective. So I would encourage you, if you didn't do that, ponder if you were already doing something more effective than that. But if not, you might consider that. Something that physically reminds you to go into that conversation. Now, I would like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because there's one more thing about this walk. And by the way, we have not exhausted the passages in the New Testament about walking. We have only sampled and gathered a few main ideas. But Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, after he's finished talking the first few verses about the assurance of resurrection, that God has promised us an eternal future. And God has not just promised us some sort of fluffy spirit eternal future. He's promised us an eternal future as solid, full three-dimensional living beings, just like Adam and Eve were created to be before there was sin in the universe. That we're not simply going to be floating spirits, that we're going to be clothed with eternal bodies for the rest of eternity. And we will interact as human beings were designed to interact. And that's the design. And Paul's saying that's an incredible reassurance. That's an incredible gift, an incredible victory over sin. That even though sin brought death into the universe, God will triumph over that at every single dimension. The enemy doesn't get to keep one aspect of his win. Jesus is taking it all back, and that even includes the physical. But after he gives that reassurance, he says this in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. And there are several things buried in this passage that, again, we're just going to harvest quickly. And one is the recognition, this is a walk of faith. And again, for most of us, we'd say, well, that's a given. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. This whole thing is about faith. But it's worth recognizing, my walk forward isn't going to be based on my vision, isn't going to be based on my comprehension. It's going to be based on the fact that the God of the universe speaks some things to me, and many of the things He speaks won't always make sense. There are plenty of things in Scripture. We read a few weeks ago that Peter said that many of the things Paul wrote were hard to understand. But they were Scripture. They came from God, and they're hard to understand. So it's true that you and I should, in fact, if we're in this word in any depth, we should bump into things that are hard to understand. If all I see is stuff that's real easy to understand, I'm probably just skimming the surface. There is a lot of really hard stuff in here. But God's saying, but if you're going to walk with me and if you're going to grow, I want you to see beyond your own comprehension because you're trusting me. I want you to walk by what I say instead of by what you see at the human level. I want you to walk by what I tell you is true instead of what the world tells you is true. So this is a walk of faith, but he adds this other dimension to it. It's not just faith, but it's also recognition. It's a walk that constantly keeps in mind an awareness of the eternal. Because what he's talking about here is because of that eternal, it's now worth doing this walk different. Because my goal now is I want to be pleasing to him now and forever. Now and forever. I want to be pleasing to this God who saved me and loved me. And I think for most of us, trying to think eternal doesn't come natural. There might be a few people who that just comes natural to them. That's not natural to most of us. What's in front of me is physical. What I have to get ready for is to pay my bills, go to work, fix the car, figure out why the air conditioner isn't working and call Jason. You know, whatever it takes, my life is in front of me constantly demanding my attention for stuff that has to be dealt with now. And part of the wisdom of God, part of what I'm seeing by faith, is the recognition all of this matters because of what I choose with Him. And that God over and over again elevates all that mundane stuff by saying, you know what? I know you have to do the stuff. I know you have to mow the lawn. I know you have to do that. But do it with me. And when you're pursuing love, do that with me. And when you're pursuing deeper knowledge and wisdom, do that with me. And when you're pursuing overcoming sin in your life and growing in holiness, do that with me. And at the core of doing that with me is you believe when I tell you amazing things. At the core of how you're going to do that is you're going to believe it when I tell you how to do it. That you don't answer me back with your version. You believe in and accept my version of how this works. And that's one reason why Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not just, here's how we do religion. And we get together and we vote. And there are actually entire denominations that are run this way. We get together and vote and we can come up with new doctrine. Or the head dude at headquarters, he comes up with new doctrine. And now we're going to believe that. And God says, no, here's how it works. In my kingdom, I speak. And then my children can even say, wow, Father, that is really hard to comprehend. But I'm going to trust in it. I'm going to believe you and I'm going to accept your authority to be the only one who speaks truth for me. Because I'm your son and I'm your daughter. And I'm looking to please you right now. At this moment, I'm going to please you by believing you, just like Abraham pleased you by believing you. And then I'm looking forward to pleasing you for all of eternity. Now, one thing I'm looking forward to about eternity is then it's going to be a lot easier to please Him. Because everything sinful in me will be removed. But here on the planet, it's a choice. And that's why He rewards choices here on the planet. Because He knows here, you're defeating the flesh. Here, you're fighting against the enemy. Here, you're resisting the pressure of an entire culture that says God doesn't matter. So that every time you choose God, trusting Him and believing Him and obeying Him and walking this way toward Him, He says, I'm going to honor that because I know what it took to choose that. I saw the resistance you had to put up. I saw the battle you had to fight, and it all matters. I will never forget that you fought that battle. So that my wisdom in this walk is, I live by believing what my Father says in light of eternity, and I do it knowing that He will be pleased for the rest of eternity that I chose then. Let's pray together. Father, you know that we barely understand what we're saying. You know that. We barely understand what we're looking at. But we understand it more today than we did another day. And we look forward to the fact, Father, that as we keep pursuing wisdom and understanding and knowledge with you for the purpose of pleasing you, you will gladly keep teaching us more. And Father, I pray that each one of us, every single one of us who belongs to you this morning, and Father, that includes some that are far along in their faith, who've been believers for decades and have walked with you and gained wisdom in that walk. And there are others, Father, who are very shaky in their walk, either just beginning that walk or maybe there's been a period of weakness and stumbling and distance in their walk with you. But I thank you that part of what you accomplish in the grace of Jesus Christ is that every single one of us has the power and the authority and the qualification to simply choose that we will walk with you today. We will go in that direction with you today. No matter what yesterday was like, whether yesterday was a day of victory, yesterday was a day of defeat, we choose that today, living God, today will be a day we walk with you. And I thank you that part of what we've looked at and seen in your word, Father, is that as soon as we choose that, you bring us all the power of Jesus Christ dwelling within us to make that choice possible, to make it effective. Father, help us to see our walk with you as a genuine pursuit of growth, that we're not just holding territory. We're not just occupying till you come and get us one day. But we are actually expanding your kingdom with our own choices. In our own territory, we are expanding your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for all your help, for all your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.